Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is David Campbell, and welcome to the first ever Hopkins Royal Page Sports Podcast. Like I said, I'm David Campbell. I'm the sports editor for the Royal Page. I'm joined with...
I am the variety editor, Mason Arneson.
I'm Ryan Baker, writer of Baker's baseball blogs on the Royal Page.
And just a little introduction here. We're going to be bringing a lot of different sports content in the real world to you, either MLB, Major League Baseball, NBA, National Basketball Association, NFL will be pretty much the things that we're going to cover. And today we got a little Baker's Baseball Beats. I got a little Mason Arneson, variety editor, who's a big baseball fan, and myself as well. Big baseball fans. We'll bring a lot of guests on more when we get more episodes. But right now it's just three of us talking some Major League Baseball here. Boys, we're like, what, 2 or 3 weeks into the season? Something like that, 3 weeks into the season?
Yeah, about that.
3 weeks into the season. What is one thing, just going to the table here, what's one thing that has stood out to you guys? One thing. Mason, you got one thing that stood out to you.
You know, the one thing that's really stood out to me the most is that the Boston Red Sox have not been performing very well at all.
Yeah.
Like, their bats have gone cold. Mookie Betts, reigning AL MVP, he has not had a great start at all. Their pitching staff, which has three former Cy Young Award winners on it, has just absolutely gone cold. Like,
yeah,
Chris Sale, Rick Porcello, David Price, they just have not gotten off to a good start at all.
No,
Baker, you got something that's gonna surprise you a little bit.
The main thing that surprised me this year is just Cody Bellinger and his success. Right now, he's batting .424. That's nearly 40 points above the next average leader, Josh Reddick. He's batting .386. And then also he has 12 long balls and 30 ribbies. Just the fact that he last year, his production was not nearly the same. His rookie year, insane, as most people know. Sophomore year, he hit a bit of a sophomore slump. And then this year's just been, he's hot start.
Yeah, the MVP race in the NL is going to be something that, you know, I think it's going to be personally just a battle. It's going to be an absolute battle. You got him, you got Yelich. Got Paul Goldschmidt in there. Got a lot of Machado. You never really know with him.
Always got Javi Baez.
You never really know what he can do. And the way Cano's off, you got off to a pretty good start. There's a lot of potential in NL. In the AL field, a bit more wide open. For me, something that surprised me a lot is just in the NL, a lot of the battles that have already started. In the NL Central, there are four teams that are 500 and above. The only team that's below 500 is the Reds, and they're 9-14. The Brewers are 13-13. They started off really hot. They're 3-7 in their last 10. They just got swept by the Cardinals. If you guys don't know, I'm a big Cardinals fan, so I'm very excited about that. But you look at the NL Central, Cardinals 15-9. Cubs and Pirates are both 12-10. Brewers are 13-13. That's a four-team race. And then the Reds aren't a bad team either. They're going to get in there. They're going to be fighting for a wild card spot. And at least Mets 13-11. Phillies 13-11. Braves are in there. And out West, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, the Padres, they still suck, but they have Manny Machado. They can make plays. Their pitching is still weak. Hosmer's a good hitter. The NL is going to be the best league in the NFL.
For
the
sure.
To
touch back on the NL Central, the thing that surprised me a lot in that division is the fact that Pittsburgh is 12-10 in third place. You would not think coming into the season that Pittsburgh would be 12-10.
Archer, he's off to a surprise start. Jameson Taillon is the most underrated pitcher in the league, in my opinion. That changeup might just be the best pitch in baseball for anybody. And Trevor Williams can do a job. Their bullpen as well.
Their bullpen is good. And the thing that surprised me is that, one, Vasquez and his production has just been through the roof so far. And also their bats, like, I could not imagine that their bats. Like, to be honest, off the top of my head, I can't even name, like, four of their starters, like, in their starting lineup. I can't do it.
You know, Marte's always going to produce pretty solidly. Josh Bell can always surprise a few, but other than that, you think?
Yeah, like they're just.
Who else is
thing,
there,
the
know?
Thing is those three players that you just listed. They're pretty streaky players. Marte dealing with his fair share of injuries. Polanco dealing with his suspension that he had the other year. It's just surprising to see. And then, kind of to hop from the NL to the AL, two things. Home to the two best offensive teams in the league so far, Seattle Mariners and Minnesota Twins.
Yes, sir.
Seattle Mariners right now started off the year with, I believe, what was it, 20 straight games to the home run? Was it
something like
was it 20
something
games?
Something crazy like that. They set the record.
Yeah, they set the record right now. Obviously, their only production has been from long balls. They have 56 home runs right now.
That's just crazy.
56 home runs through what, probably 25 games right now?
Yeah, 25.
27. And they have 21 more ribbies than the next team, the Dodgers.
Mariners are reaching a bit of a cold streak, though.
That's
true. 3-7 in the last 10.
That's true. I was a little bit upset about
that. Still 16-11, and the Astros are actually ahead of them somehow. That is a two battle race that is going to be just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy to follow this year. Astros, obviously, you're always going to be in there when we got a squad like that. Mariners are actually surprisingly good teams. They have a really good squad. I think that they will. They'll be in October.
The thing that I'm personally a Mariners fan. The thing that does upset me is the fact that Mariners can't close out in the end of the season. Last year they ended, I think their last month they went, I think like 300 with their winning percentage. It wasn't a good showing. And then when you have to compete with a team like the Astros, it's hard to do it when they have four potential MVPs and they're starting nine. So
well, Seattle hasn't reached the playoffs since the Griffey years. So, you know, they traded away Robinson Cano
and
Edwin Diaz.
Exactly. I was thinking that this year was going to be a tank year and we were going to try to go for some high draft picks, and we traded away Diaz. I was upset about that. We traded away Paxton. He was my favorite player on the Mariners at the time.
That's true. Remember that Paxton trade.
We traded away Cano. We traded away Cruz. Essentially, our four biggest producers got shipped off, and now we're getting.
You got guys like Mitch Haniger, who's always been a solid, solid player.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Smith is a guy that gets on base a lot. He's a guy. He's got some wheels on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you
got
around.
You got all these young guns, and then you also have Edwin Encarnacion, who
basically an improvement, I think, of Nelson Cruz. I think Encarnacion.
People always forget about Edwin Encarnacion, but he still remains one of the most potent long ball hitters in Major League Baseball.
And I think people forgot about him mostly because he was going to Safeco Field, and Safeco Field is not, Safeco Field now, but I forgot what.
T-Mobile
Park.
T-Mobile Park.
Just because that's not a hitter-friendly park. And originally, Encarnacion was going to be a flip-flop. We were going to get him, and we were going to trade him right away again just because he was a trade piece.
Yep.
But now we're keeping him because we have production. We'll see if we're contenders or pretenders at the deadline and see what happens. But, yeah, just to touch on the last time the Mariners made the playoffs, it was 2001. They lost in the AL Championship Series to the Yankees. That's the longest postseason drought in MLB right now. So
Mariners have been one of the more unlucky franchises in the MLB.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be in October. But you got a lot of teams, Boston, Oakland's right now in there somewhere. But Boston and the playoffs last year, you know, you got your five, but it's hard to make the playoffs in the MLB.
Mm-hmm.
You got five.
You have like a 33% chance.
Yeah, you have five teams in each league, and especially in the AL when you're defending World Series champion, it's 10-15.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know the Red Sox are going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
for sure. You know, you know right away. Houston, New York, if they get healthy, which we'll touch on a little bit later, and Boston are going to be, and essentially Cleveland are guaranteed to be in the playoffs almost, because unless Minnesota can offset
can do something.
Unless
they're
can
a
offset
great
things.
Team.
That's the thing, though, is Cleveland's players that they have. They have Carrasco, they have Kluber, they have Bauer. All three of them are Cy Young.
Their pitching staff as well. Clevenger's in there.
Clevenger's
going to be gone until he's going to be gone until July. But
he got put on the IL 60. So
60-day injured list. So
either way, they're. I mean, if you got Shane Bieber as your fourth guy, you know,
then you're
he's
doing
a talented
good.
Guy. He's
yeah,
a
when,
guy.
When you have a pitching staff as deep as the Cleveland Indians,
mm-hmm.
and just one guy goes down. Like, and you still have this plethora of talent.
Yeah.
It goes to show how good of a team and how deep your roster is.
Yeah, and Bieber would be a top two starter on almost any other MLB team. Guaranteed, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like he'd be a top two, at least in some other really good rotations, third starter.
You'd be number one on, like, the Padres.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And, like, but Detroit, you'd be number one.
Yeah.
Baltimore would be number one. But then also when you have hitters like Lindor and Ramirez.
Lindor's back now. I think he's
going.
He missed the first couple of games, but he's back now.
Both of those are MVP candidates. It's that's the thing, is they have so many good players, they have so much talent on their team that it's hard to count against them. It's hard to bet against them. So when you have those four teams mainly dominating the AL and you have that one wild card spot left, it's hard to sneak in there. And when you have Tampa Bay going 16-9 right now.
Yeah, Tampa Bay.
You have Bay, you have Minnesota, you have Seattle, all three fighting for that final wild card spot.
Yeah.
To be honest, you could walk into the season already just kind of predicting the top four seeds for the AL.
The AL is right now a battle. We're actually going to shift focus here. No, we're going to keep shift focus in the AL. To right now, the hottest team in baseball, I don't know if you guys knew this, the New York Yankees, despite their injuries, they've won six in a row. They're 8-2 in their last 10. The bruised Bombers are currently sitting second in the NL East behind Tampa Bay. AL East, despite their injuries. Guys, what's going on with New York right now? Got a lot of injuries, but how are they maintaining the success, Mason?
I mean, I think it just goes to show how good the Yankees did in the offseason to pick up a pitcher like Paxton. And then, of course, they have a bunch of homegrown talent that continuously produces, such as Luke Voit, Clint Frazier, who have really stepped up in key ways.
Mike Ford.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's the thing, is the Yankees have such a good front office that their farm system for the past 5 years, you could just see with Judge and with all the players that they brought up, Torres.
And Duhar,
all those players that they brought up have just been insane. And you can just see how good their farm system is. It's been one of the best in baseball, and it still is one of the best in baseball. I was listening to the game the other day, and I heard Mike Ford hit two home runs.
Yeah.
And just to hear the fact that you have Voit, you have Ford, just those two players kind of carrying the team. And having like the pitchers they have right now, Tanaka, Severino, even though I believe
he's injured.
Yeah, he's injured.
Paxton.
That
Domingo, what's his name?
Domingo Herman.
He had a great start.
He did have a great start.
He's probably having a pretty solid year.
Mm-hmm.
But the Yankees, you know, they're well coached. Aaron Boone, you know, he's a baseball expert. You know, the Yankees are just, they're always going to be there. You're never not going to have the Yankees, especially with the history, the legacy of the New York Yankees, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to be like, the Yankees aren't going to be in it this year. No, they're going to be in it. They have so much talent. They have so much. They have great coaching. They have great front office. That's why the New York Yankees are usually going to be in the playoffs. The question is, though, who's going to win the NL East? Just real quick, who's going to win the NL East?
AL East.
I said it again. Gosh.
We'll touch on real quick the fact that they're running a four-man rotation. It's right now, one is toss-up between Paxton and Tanaka. Mainly Tanaka's their guy. So it's Tanaka, Paxton, J.A. Happ, and Herman.
Does Sabathia get starts at all?
No. He gets occasional starts, but he started the other day.
He's mostly in the pen.
Yeah.
The pen.
He started the other day, but they're running a four-man. They only have four guys eligible for the ERA stat right now.
Wow.
So they're running a four-man rotation in that Yankee Stadium with the young guys at the plate. To me, personally, I still – gotta go with the Red Sox. I can't bet against them.
Yeah.
You can't bet against Betts. You cannot bet against Betts. They have Betts. They have some veteran talent in Pedroia, even though he's hurt right now. You have Benintendi. Their outfielder's insane. They have Devers, Bogarts, Moreland,
Mitch
Pierce.
Moreland, baby.
Their pitching staff obviously is insane.
It's gonna come back. The pitching staff's gonna come back.
Yeah, I think Boston. What about you, Mason? What you got?
I also have to agree with you, Baker. I think that the Red Sox have the best shot at winning the AL East simply because they have so much talent, but it's just a month into the season.
Mm-hmm.
They are currently sitting at
10-15.
They're sitting at 10-15. It's not an ideal start for them, but I think that they have what it takes to come back and to make a case
rebound
for being.
Yeah.
But,
I get that.
Like, everybody was wondering, with Craig Kimbrell leaving the team, like, how would the unstable bullpen do without their one really key
guy,
you know? But Ryan Brazier, after having an incredible postseason last year, just the way that he stepped up and he's taken on that closer role, He's converted 6 of his last 7 save attempts, and he's looking like the real deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, there's only one team I can go with, obviously. I don't want to make it too obvious here. We're going with the Baltimore Orioles.
that's always what you like to hear. That's always
they're the underdog.
No, to make it interesting, not because I actually do think I don't think Boston's going to win the division. I genuinely don't.
Tampa Bay or New York?
I could definitely see Tampa Bay winning.
Yeah.
I don't think their bullpen will keep it up. Uh-huh. I think Morton and Snell could both be 20-game winners. I like their bats a lot. Tommy Pham, former Cardinal, I will always have a spot for you in my heart. Good to go with the Yankees, though.
Mm-hmm.
Just
for sure. Once they get healthy,
that team
is going to be insane.
If Judge and Stanton, when they get matched, people forget, Stanton was like known as the best hitter in baseball, just pure hitter,
mm-hmm.
just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And everyone think, oh, now he sucks. He went to the Yankees, a bad year. No, Stanton is still a
no,
very,
that's
very
the
good
thing,
player.
Though, is he didn't have a bad year last year. It's because he hit, 60? Was it 60 or 40?
I don't know what it was.
It
was more than 40.
It was 60. It was 60 bombs, 2 or 3 years ago back in Miami.
Yeah.
And then he got traded to New York, and everyone's like, oh, my God, New York, one of the best hitter ballparks in the, one of the most friendly hitter ballparks in the league. And so you think he's going to go 65-70. No one's going to reach that mark. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Judge. I don't care if you're the biggest man on the planet. You're not going to hit 70 bombs in a season.
Unless you're juiced up.
Yeah, unless you're juiced up. That's not going to happen. And so he still had a good year. The fact that people just are down on him this year just because he still had a good year, but not to people's expectations.
I think there's going to be 3 things that's going to keep the Yankees from winning this. There's only 3 reasons why they wouldn't win. It's lack of consistency behind the dish. Gary Sanchez is very good. He's playing well right now. He got a bit inconsistent last year, had some slumps, had some rises. If he can maintain a solid, consistent pace, then the Yankees doesn't look good. Another thing, their middle infield depth. I like Gleyber a lot. I like Lieber a lot. But Didi Gregorius is out for the year. That's a big loss.
Yeah, that is a big loss.
And the final thing, it's just their bullpen. I mean, look, you have all these high expectations. You have all these pieces involved. But can it live up to the hype?
Yeah,
can it produce when it needs producing in the timely moments? Those are the 3 things I think might stop the Yankees from winning the AL East. But with the Red Sox slow start and the Yankees are just starting to catch the fire, I think they'd take it. I want to move on to another topic.
But,
over to the NL. Before Mason says
last word on the Yankees. Just with all those high-level players being in New York and just the fact that they are in New York playing for the biggest team in America.
Mm-hmm.
They get the most criticism.
Yeah. I don't think that Giancarlo Stanton would have gotten the amount of criticism that he did last year for only hitting 37
he
home
hit,
runs.
He, just to touch on that, yeah, he had 38 home runs. He had 100 ribbies, 70 walks, batted 266, which is on the upper end of his career, surprisingly. It's on 266, upper end of his career, 38 bombs, 100, which 38 bombs was the second most in his career in a season.
Yeah.
And people still said he had a bad year.
And it's just the fact that in New York, the expectations for the Yankees are sky high.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
for
has sky high expectations of the New York Yankees.
Twins. We need to touch on that.
We need to
touch
on the Twins first.
Twins.
I recently, if you check out on the Royal page, Baker's Baseball Blogs, got to plug my own section real quick. We have 1 article already up on the Twins hot start, and secondly, I have another article coming up next week that will be posted about Eddie Rosario, Dark Horse MVP candidate. We won't talk too much about Rosario's MVP candidacy just because we'll save that for the article. You have to check that out in the article. But let's touch on them a little bit.
One thing, go around. What is one reason why the Twins have been successful this year? I'll start it off. For me, it's the consistent play of the one and only former number 2 overall pick, Byron Buxton.
Mm-hmm.
The Twins
Yo.
Don't need him to bat 300 and steal 70 bases. There are so many high expectations for Buxton. They don't need him to bat 300. They need him to bat 250, 260, maybe get on base a bit more, steal some bases. They don't view Buxton as a hitter. They view Buxton as a defensive specialist. He is the best defensive outfielder in the game. Basically, possibly the best defensive player in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's the fastest player in the game. For the past 5 years, he's the fastest player in the game. It's surprising that for the first time in his entire career, he's been thrown out while trying to steal second. That happened a week ago.
Oh, I saw that.
For the first time in his entire career.
Yeah, that's insane.
And you put him along with Kepler on the right, Rosario on the left, and then you have a huge order of guys like Cruz, and Scope and Polanco. And if Sano gets back
you
healthy,
have, you have Jacob, the utility
they don't need Buxton.
Player,
they don't
Gonzalez.
Need Buxton to do it. Yeah, Marvin Gonzalez has been phenomenal. Marvin Gonzalez has been phenomenal. They don't need Buxton to bat that well. Although Buxton still can't hit a curveball. They don't need him to.
Yeah,
they don't
no,
need
I mean,
Buxton to be this super machine.
They don't need him to be a 5-tool player. They don't need him to be a Trout.
No.
They need him to be. They need him to specialize in one or two categories and go off and have his day. And the thing that the biggest thing for me that I think I'm going to touch on two things real quick. Two biggest things is the fact that their consistency in the top three players in their lineup, in the top three players in their order.
Oh, yeah.
You have Polanco, whether it's Polanco batting leadoff or Buxton batting leadoff. You have Buxton,
Garver
Polanco.
Garver batting leadoff.
Yeah.
Oh,
you have Buxton, Polanco, and Rosario. Just their production in the top three have been insane. And then also you have Polanco batting .366, one of the best in the league. And the amount of times that they have struck out is so little that it's insane.
Yeah.
They have
the highest batting average in
the entire
major leagues.
The leader right now is Rosario. That he has 17 strikeouts on the year so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that their strikeout totals this year, if they can keep that up, if they can keep that on the low side, then they'll be a for sure AL Central winner.
Mason, do you have anything to add to the Twins?
You know, Jorge Polanco has been slowly becoming one of the best middle infielders in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Twins have, aside from, Brian Dozier, they haven't really had a strong shortstop in years. So having Jorge Polanco sort of step in and, really take over this season, it's...
They haven't had that good of a shortstop since Shisoshi Nishioka.
Get out of here. I remember that, man.
Man had one home run for the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah.
Actually, no, he had none. Didn't have a home run for the Twins.
And we haven't even, just to show how good the Twins have been on the offensive side, second best offensive team in the league, we haven't even touched on their pitching. We won't get too much into it, but
that's the one thing that's going to stop the Twins.
Yeah.
It's always been their weakness for the past 3 or 4 years. Their offense has always been their strength. Their pitching has always been their weakness. However, this year,
Barrios,
he is so good. He is just so disgusting.
He's going to be, he's 100%.
He will be a
Cy Young
someday.
I would say that he's the best pitcher that the Twins have ever had since Johan Santana.
I'd be okay with that.
I would be okay with that statement. The thing that I think that's going to hold them back, not necessarily their starting rotation. They have pretty staple guys in their lineup and their rotation right now. You have Barrios. He's insane. He's always a number one starter. Yeah, Oda Rizzi, he's had a pretty good career, pretty solid career. He'll be solid for them. Pineda, he's been good.
He's been good so far.
If he's good. And then I think the thing that's going to hold them back the most is their bullpen. They have three guys with saves right now. You have Parker Rogers and Hildenberger. There's no stapled center, closer. Not that you need one, but it's always good to have one. We'll see. I'm sure that's going to be their number one transaction hitting the deadline if they're still a contender.
Oh, yeah. If they can find
either
going to
be a closer or a new starting pitcher.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be the biggest thing.
I don't have a lot of time left. So real quickly, guys, we're going to go through in each division awards predictions. We'll do MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year in the NL, and then MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year in the AL. First off, guys, Rookie of the Year in the NL, who you're thinking? I'm right now, there's two names that really been brought out to me.
Peter Alonso.
Pete Alonso is one of them. The other one is Fernando Tatis Jr.
That is an absolute battle of a duel there.
If I had to make a choice right now, I would choose Pete Alonso only because I feel like the Mets are more of a successful team. They're currently the first in the NL East. I don't know if that'll stand. Probably won't. But I like the way Pete Alonso plays. He's a very versatile first baseman. I'm going to go Pete Alonso. Baker. You got
to be honest, I gotta go Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
The fact that I don't think the Mets can keep up their production. I don't think that Pete Alonso is gonna get that help. He's not gonna get that he's not gonna be able to drive in as many runs as other rookies or other players in general. I think Tatis with Machado and their young lineup, you got Renfroe over there. I believe he's still on the Padres.
Yeah.
You got Renfroe over there. I think Tatis Jr. is going to take it.
Mason?
Yeah, I also think that Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to take home the NL Rookie of the Year just because like Baker said, there's more support surrounding him. And I think that, you know, Pete Alonso, it doesn't have as much support as Tatis.
Their stats right now look identical, besides Ribbies. Besides Ribbies, right now, Alonso's got him up by eight. But right now, they look similar.
You know, so glad I picked up Mr. Fernando Tatis
in
fantasy.
All right.
We're going to move on to Cy Young. There's a lot of names out in the dish. Mason, you got a
we selling that out here?
Yeah, and I'll still. Cy Young candidate. Anyone blurt it out? Baker, Mason, what are you guys thinking?
I got to take a look at this.
I'm going to have to say, to be honest, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Bold prediction. I got Syndergaard or Kershaw. I'm going to go bold.
I'm going to go Jack Flaherty. St. Louis Cardinals. All
right, Mason, what you got?
No, Jack Flaherty, the Joker.
You know, we won't touch too much on it, but what you got, Mason?
Right, Tom.
You know, dark horse candidate, but Germán Márquez.
Okay.
He is
Colorado.
I love that guy so much.
All right, MVP.
MVP of the NL. I hate to say Christian Yelich, so I am going to say
Christian Yelich.
I hate him so much. He's a Brewer, and I hate him.
I got to go Christian Yelich. Don't think Bellinger can keep up his pace right now.
You know, it's unanimous. I got to pick Christian Yelich.
He's just a really good player. Really.
All right, AL Rookie of the Year, what we got?
Hasn't debuted yet, but
Vladimir.
Vladimir Guerrero.
I got to go. He just got called up. Got to go, Vlad.
I haven't seen it that bad from Vlad Jr. But I the way I have seen him play the minors, I mean, he has power that I that
he's
not,
got his dad.
He's the most hyped prospect in Major League history since Mike Trout. Like by him, Mike Trout, and then
Mike Trout, Bryce Harper. A little bit.
I think Trout's a bit more hyped.
Yeah,
all
right.
But there's just so much hype around
Cy Young. And
Cy Young.
What we got? What we got? Mason, David, got anything?
So I know Barrios is definitely in there. He's going to be one of the final three names, I think, for Cy Young. Another guy's Blake Snell. Another guy, I think James Paxton put his name in there.
For sure.
But right now, I'm going to go with a bit of a veteran. I'm going to go with JV.
Justin
Verlander.
I was just about to say, I'm going with
Justin
Verlander.
And the Astros need him to pitch really well. Him, Cole. I think JV can really pull this one out.
I think JV, too.
It's an open race.
You know,
or Marco Gonzalez, Seattle Mariner pitcher.
Marco Gonzalez,
you know,
the best pitcher in the league.
I think that the AL has a lot more, like that race is wide open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
All races are wide open.
Justin
AL.
Verlander.
All races are wide open right now. It's a month in this.
You have Marco Gonzalez, like you said, Tyler Glasnow, very underrated pitcher for Tampa Bay. You have Berrios, and then also you have Mr. Trevor Bauer, often in the Cleveland rotation. You think of Kluber more, but Trevor Bauer is a solid Cy Young candidate.
Yep. MVP guys. Anyone want to start it off, Baker?
I got Carlos Correa or Mitch Haniger. I gotta go with these are my two favorite players in the MLB. I gotta go with them. I think Carlos Correa can definitely produce a lot of runs in that Astros offense with Bregman, Altuve, and Springer hitting ahead of him. And then Haniger, just his production is insane. And the Mariners, easily best bat in the lineup. The only thing that's gonna hold him back is his strikeout numbers.
Mike Trout is still an MLB player, so that's my choice.
Yeah,
I almost forget about him. Michael Fish.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Trout is going to be in any MVP conversation.
100%.
Like, there hasn't really been a year since his rookie year where he hasn't been either the MVP
one or two.
Or the runner-up.
Yeah, one or two.
So that's probably the odds-on favorite, but I do think that players such as Mitch Haniger, Eddie Rosario, even George Springer, they could work their way into the conversation.
For sure.
That is it, guys. Thank you for listening to the World Page Podcast. We'll be reading more of these. We won't always do baseball. Get some basketball talk in there. I got playoffs coming around.
Got the NFL draft tonight.
We might have a reaction episode.
Don't forget, check out Avengers Endgame coming up this weekend or tonight. Non-sports, but got to check it out.
Hopkinsrp.org. Check it out, guys. Signing off for now.